You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston, and co-hosting this morning, Wayne Magyars, vice president and chief of staff of Loyola University, Chicago. How are you, Wayne?
Excellent, excellent. You?
Good, good. How was your week so far?
Week was short. We had a nice short week with the holidays, so that was a good thing, and I can get used to these four-day weeks.
Yeah, the thing is, and I'll tell you, we are really experiencing beautiful summer weather. I was with my family on Monday for the July 4th holiday, and it was just a beautiful day.
Were you talking to them?
Yeah. They didn't move on me.
They didn't move yet. They sent you the forwarding address. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Yes.
Well, that's where they changed the locks. That's right. You know, my family loves me. Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Excellent.
Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408 on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. We have a phenomenal topic or topics planned today. Catholic Cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Chicago has a bereavement team that assists parishes in setting up bereavement ministries. Eva Bustamante and Martha Tressler, both of Catholic cemeteries, will be in studio to talk about the services that are offered to parishes. Good morning, Eva and Martha. Welcome to the radio program this morning.
Good morning, Father.
And the thing is, for Martha and Eva, I think maybe many people are unaware that, you know, in all the great work that is done by Catholic cemeteries, the Archdiocese, that a huge component of it is bereavement ministries. How did that get started through Catholic cemeteries? Martha?
About 9 years ago, the bereavement ministry was merged, a little longer than that actually, with two, there were two components and they were finally merged, and the training at one time was done by Catholic Charities, and the ministry was done out of the family ministry's office. When the two people who were doing those ministries, both named Rita, interestingly, when they both decided to do other things, one retired and another one took on new responsibilities, the merged responsibilities came to the family ministry's office. That lasted for about 5 years, and then cemeteries decided that it was a better fit there. And so that's when I moved, and I've been in it ever since and was delighted 2 years ago to welcome Eva.
Oh, great. Now, tell us a little bit about how you initially make contact with a parish. Is it on an individual level, an individual person who may be interested in starting a bereavement ministry within the parish? Is it the pastor? Does it come in very different ways? How does the original relationship begin?
Generally speaking, it can be either. Sometimes we hear from the pastor, and sometimes we hear from an individual who wants to get some ammunition, if you will, to talk to her pastor or his.
Okay. And then exactly then, Eva, what role do you play? Do you set up the bereavement ministries within parishes? You go out to a parish and talk to a group or something?
What we do, Fathers and Wayne, is once the parish sets up a date for us to come out, then we train in the parish. We train the future bereavement ministers in the parish. And so they go through a period of either 6 weeks, one night a week, or they can also choose two consecutive Saturdays, full days. And then once they complete the training program, they receive a certificate of completion.
So you really put these people through either two full Saturdays or six consecutive, let's say, Thursday evenings. So it's more than just like one evening. And like, what are some of the things you talk about as you get people ready to be part of a bereavement ministry team within a faith community?
That's a great question. We do have a whole agenda that we go through. Basically, we start them from the Order of Christian Funerals, which is we introduce the ministers to that, because that's what we base our that's what they're going to do. They're going to work with their pastor under the direction of their pastor to help in the liturgy planning. Then eventually they will serve in whatever format the pastor decides for that particular parish.
Okay, and give us an idea of once that person goes through the training and they become certified to do this, do they then train others within their parish? Are they kind of the seed that you plant, and do you move on, or do the other individuals who want to go through the program come back to you for that training?
They do come back to us.
Okay.
There will be a certification program. First of all, we use ministry training material from the National Catholic Ministry to the Bereaved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the organization that has been certified, accepted, whatever, by the bishops. We do have an Episcopal moderator, and so we would like to make sure that all the training conforms to that particular
Martha, I need
curriculum.
To ask this question. That is, a phone call comes into the rectory, a loved one dies, and then the date is set up for the Christian funeral liturgy, let's say on a Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
The wake at the funeral home Thursday from 3 until 9. People from a particular parish that have been trained as bereavement ministry, they will then make contact with the family, work with them regarding the liturgy, help them grieve. But the question I have is, I know that many, many, many Catholic parishes do a phenomenal job from the moment of death through the cemetery with the rite of committal at the Catholic cemetery. Is bereavement ministry put in place in a parish so that a week later, a month later, 6 months later, is a bereavement team meeting with loved ones who have died for an ongoing bereavement?
That's usually the goal.
So it doesn't end with the cemetery?
No. That's the whole point. For many, many years it did. And this is what we're trying to avoid having it end with the cemetery. We're trying to make sure that there are people in the parish who are there and available for the person who has had a loved one die and is not functioning so well afterwards, which really pertains to
most of us. And I think I need to say this. You know, the one of the best lines I ever heard, I've had even people write this line down, when it comes to losing a loved one, the line goes like this: grieving is a process. Recovery is a decision.
Correct.
Grieving is a process. Recovering is a decision. Now, what does that mean? We must grieve. We must grieve. Like if you break your arm, there's a whole healing process that happens. Put the cast on, 6 weeks, and then you go through therapy, or it could be longer. We sometimes live in a society that says when you lose a loved one, within a week or two, why am I still grieving? Because to lose a loved one is so final. Now, I've had someone say to me recently, but if we know they're going to be with the Lord, we should be rejoicing. Well, on one level, absolutely yes. But when you lose a loved one, a part of you dies. You can't get away from it. And the more you love someone, the harder it is to say goodbye. And we're going to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Wayne Majors, and our guests are Eva Bustamante and Martha Tressler of Catholic Cemeteries, who do bereavement ministries in parishes. 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. A question you may have for Martha and Eva. We'll be back right after a break.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's theme is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Called. We'll explore how we are signed by our baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, and called to a life with Christ.
Experience Black Catholic spirituality through robust talks, prayer sessions, reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry, lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community, and anyone else seeking a spiritual call to action.
Join us at Mawusi, Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois, near Northbrook. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. Search for Mawusi Chicago.
Are you Mawusi?
And welcome back into the program, 9:12 in the morning on a Friday. Wayne Magyars and Father Greg Sackwitz, Martha Tressler and Eva Bustamante are our guests there with the Catholic Cemetery's bereavement ministry team for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And if you'd like to join in on the conversation this morning, our telephone number is 312-255-8408. And we were talking just before we went into the break about what you look at, criteria, if you will, for training individuals and parishes for bereavement ministries. Maybe Martha or Eva, jump in and tell us what makes for a really good, spiritual, successful bereavement ministry at the parish level.
Well, what we'd look for, well, actually, we're not the ones that search the people out. It's the pastor or the pastoral associate. They know their parishioners a lot better than we do. So, we basically kind of fall under them. But what the pastor looks for is that the person should be caring, compassionate, someone that that knows how to listen and work with other people. We also need them to be sincere in what they're aiming to do, what their goal is.
And there's a process also to be sure that the minister is cared for through all of this, because they help, they facilitate, they work with individuals and with families, but they're also going through a process themselves, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we actually, the training manual has two chapters, two units that focus on more on the minister than mm-hmm. on the grieving person, mm-hmm. because you cannot give what you don't have. And so, first of all, we do need to have somebody who's strong in the faith. You can't be half-hearted about doing this ministry. Yeah. So, strong Catholic Christian values, as Eva said, compassion.
And I think it's also important. I know many people have backed off from this ministry regarding mm-hmm. bereavement ministry because they feel, what do I say? I don't have all the answers. And I always say to people, when you lose a loved one, more than likely someone wants just a listening, compassionate ear. When there's a death of a tragic death of a child, of a young mother or father, what words can I say that's going to bring that individual back? It's not going to happen. So somehow it's a matter of just listening. Let them cry. Let them be angry. You know, I've been blessed as a priest now for 32 years, and I've been involved in some very difficult dying and death situations in which all you can do is hold a hand, let them cry. And I remember when I was, I haven't thought about this, when I was a young priest, I was at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Schaumburg. I was maybe ordained 6-7 months, got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we're going to Humana Hospital. This was back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I remember I got a call to anoint a gentleman who was dying. He was in his 60s. I spent about 3 hours in the, like 2 o'clock in the morning till 5 with the wife who was crying. I remember I came back to the rectory at 5 o'clock in the morning. The man did pass away about 2 hours later, early in that morning. I remember saying to George Kane, I felt like such a failure because I didn't know what to say. I just listened. And George said, I'm sure you were fine. What words can you say? A week later, I get a beautiful note from the wife who had lost her husband, says, you will never know the kindness and your presence by listening. And I thought, we've got to leave room for the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, you can't fix anything.
Exactly.
That's one of the primary things we say to our training classes. If you go into this thinking that you're going to fix something, you're mistaken, because it's not fixable. It's not fixable. All you can do is be a loving listener and a compassionate presence. And probably, I love St. Francis saying about, preach the gospel, but don't speak, words if necessary.
You know, the Gregorian goes, preach the gospel at all times. No, I'll get it. Jeez, Wes isn't a game.
But anyway, the point
is, how about
is,
sports for 100? What's the Sox record?
Preach anyway, the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, tell us about what goes into maintaining the program at the parish level. Once you have a core group of bereavement ministers that have gone through the program and gotten certified, is it pretty much on autopilot at that point? But how do you stay involved to make sure that that parish program is still working?
Well, one thing that we've started doing recently is offering to come out to one of their meetings. And that's another thing we encourage, is that they have regular meetings. And we offer to do a spiritual reflection and a Q&A type of interview with them.
Among the ministers of that parish?
Just among the bereavement ministers.
Yeah, yeah. And how many bereavement ministers may a parish have? I mean, are there some that have dozens? Or?
Well, I don't think we've gone into the dozens yet, but frequently it's great to have 10.
Okay.
Depending on the number of funerals they have.
Sure.
You only have 3 funerals a year. Highly unlikely that you're going to need that many.
We're talking about the bereavement ministry of the Catholic Cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Chicago with Martha Tressler and Eva Bustamante. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It is coming up to 9:18 on a Friday morning, and we'll be right back.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is exactly 9:20 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Madgers, as I mentioned, and that music means one thing. We have with us on air Joyce DeRiga, editor of the Catholic New World of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thanks.
Good. What's happening in the latest issue of the Catholic New World?
Well, the big thing we have is the priest placement list. People call ahead of time looking for this, and it's the list of where Father's going. Is he becoming a pastor? Are you getting a new pastor, an associate pastor? Who's becoming a resident? Who's moving around, maybe in the faculty of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein? So people tend to wait for this and read through it with great interest.
I need to say that the priest placement board headed up by Father Jim Donovan does a phenomenal job.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because I was on the board for 4 years. I was off now the last year. And, you know, Father Jim, along with the other priests who assist him, along with the bishops and, you know, Cardinal Francis George, really work hard to place well in parishes and different agencies. So you're right, Joyce, that this is a particular issue that both the clergy and the laity really look to see who's going where.
And Father Greg parallels it to the Bears football schedule every year when it's released.
Exactly.
Well, there is that.
Who's on the roster? Who's been traded? That's right.
Well, I'm amazed what they do with this list because it's a domino effect, as you know, from serving on that board. Yeah. I mean, you know, you move one and you got 10 other that, you know, kind of, I mean, that's an exaggeration. But, you know,
I think people have to realize that I think there's no diocese or archdiocese in the country that does it better than Chicago in really caring about each individual priest and parish to try to match well through. And really, and there's a lot of prayer that is spent in this. They discern through prayer, so that's excellent. What else is happening with the Catholic New World, Joyce?
Well, we have a story about lay ministers being called to what they do. It's not just that they sign up to be volunteers to be DREs or pastoral associates, but they really feel called from the Lord. Recently, they were commissioned, new ones were commissioned by the Cardinal, and he actually calls them to be sent out and to do their ministry. So we interviewed a few of them to talk about how they really felt, how their vocation came about, and how they were formed and that kind of stuff to serve the parishes that they're in. We also have an update on the bishops, the recent bishops' annual meeting on what they did, and they approved a statement on assisted suicide, which is pretty huge, and then they made some revisions to the charter. We also have a story about the launch for the Year of Teens and Young Adults that will be going on throughout the year.
Part of the strategic planning, correct?
Yes, she's a pastoral plan. And then coming up of interest, we usually do twice a year, jubilarians, priests and religious in the Archdiocese. And this year we merged it to just do it once, and it's a big issue. We're going to have 8 pages in the next issue just devoted to religious men and women who are in the Archdiocese, who have served at some point in the Archdiocese, who are celebrating like 25, 50, 60.
Out of curiosity, who's the longest running right now in terms of like a religious nun or priest?
You know, unfortunately, we're still getting a few in, so I don't know. But we've got some who've been are almost in their hundreds and who've been serving since they were about 14.
And that's right, it's not me.
Yeah.
Getting close.
I feel like it's some days. Well, Joyce, thank you very much. You're doing an outstanding job. If somebody wanted to subscribe to the Catholic New World, give us a phone number.
You can call me. I'm sorry.
Okay, I know. You're all choked up just even talking about that. I know. It's a tough topic.
You can call me at 312-534-7577 Or you can sign up online. It's CatholicNewWorld.com.
Well, thank you, Joyce. Keep up the outstanding work. And Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Thanks for being with us. And Joyce, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Martha Tressler, Eva Bustamante are with us from Catholic Cemeteries and the Bereavement Ministry team. And Eva, during the break, we're talking about not only do the two of you spend a lot of time in the training process for bereavement ministers at the parish level, but you're also a resource that if something extraordinary comes out of a parish for resources, programming, professional counseling, you're there for them. Give us an idea of what some of the things you do in that regard.
Wayne, that's correct. What we do is we also serve as a resource so that if someone calls in, it could be either a family member or a pastor or anyone that is looking for more support or further support or professional counseling for a particular situation. They can call us, and we have organizations out there that we refer the families to.
And you have recently also begun to outreach this program to the Hispanic population in Chicago, right?
That's correct. This is the first time that we are now offering this training, bereavement ministry training program in the Spanish language. And we just completed our first one at St. Leonard's Parish.
Mm. When did you complete that? In the last couple of weeks?
Last couple months.
Okay.
Last couple months.
And I think that's marvelous. That's not only for English and then Spanish. Martha, does any particular story come to mind in working with these parishes as people gather? What is, maybe to help our listeners, what's the most commonly asked question when you're training these people? Give us a commonly asked question or myth that you need to clarify.
One of the myths, I think, is something that you brought up. People are terribly afraid that they don't know how to say the right thing.
Okay.
And one of the things that we say is, it's not what you say, it's what you do. It's a ministry of presence. So it's showing up is probably the most important thing that you can do. I can remember, and this is a personal thing, at my husband's funeral, one of his clients came to the church. Other people recognized him, but he never signed the guest book, so I never knew he was there. I only had an opportunity about 3 months ago to see him again and to thank him for he had worked all night and then came out to a funeral at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he lived about as far away as he possibly could from where we lived.
And I'll think, here's a simple thing, but regarding even like the guest book, that, and I've said this to people, when you go to a wake, please print on the guest book, because when my father passed away, there were about 15 or 18 names I could not read or the address. I'm serious. Yeah. And so from that day on, when my dad died back in 2004 in February, every wake I go to, I print my name, because to try to guess, and you feel bad when you can't send someone a thank you.
Exactly.
So a simple thing like, please print your name so the family can read, because you take for granted your own name and address. Well, that doesn't help the Jones family who's trying to send out notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about as you look forward now, as this ministry continues to grow and prosper within the Archdiocese, what are some of the things you may be looking at and considering for the future?
For me, it always is. I love to train, and so the more classes that we can do, the better.
What percentage of the parishes of the Archdiocese roughly have bereavement ministries in place?
About a third.
A third only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now that would be up from, let's say, 5 years ago, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Creature is growing and growing.
It's a slow process.
Now, before we close, I can't believe it's already 9:29 here in Chicago. Could you please give us a phone number and a web so people could learn more about bereavement ministries, where they can maybe contact their pastor? Eva?
Sure. Father, the number to call is 708-423-0471.
The number once again.
708-423-0471.
And what about a web?
And you could try either, you can call, you can, my address is E. Bustamante, E-B-U-S-T-A-M-A-N-T-E at C-A-T-H-C-E-M-C-H-G-O.org.
Okay, we're going to go to a break, but we're still going to keep Eva and Martha with us, so don't leave yet. So I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars, and the time in Chicago is coming up on 9:30 on this beautiful Friday morning. Okay, we're going to say goodbye. So Eva and Martha, thank you for joining us. God bless you. Keep up the great ministry and the great work that you do. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Thank you.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is coming up on 9:33 on this beautiful Friday in Chicago. Today's high is supposed to be about 85, and talking great weather for the weekend. So this is a time to spend with family and friends. You know, Wayne, it's such a short window, this beautiful weather. And before
it
we
is,
know
it's
Labor
to believe.
Day.
It's hard to believe that summer's halfway over.
I mean, it feels that way because we're approaching mid-July next week. And so isn't it funny, in the winter we keep looking forward to spring and then summer. And before we know it, it's Labor Day and the kids are back in school.
And then it's fall, we're looking forward to winter. I mean, really, not really, but...
We have with us via the phone Tom Tuohy, president and founder of Dreams for Kids and author of Kiss of the Dolphin, a great book. I read it a couple of years ago. And Dream for Kids, Changing the World One Person at a Time. And Tom will discuss the work of this amazing organization that makes dreams come true for children with physical and mental challenges. Tom Tuohy, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Father Greg, thank you. And thank you, Wayne, for having me.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Tom, you were on this program a couple of years ago, but you were coming through Chicago and you were live in the studio.
I was indeed.
And you gave me a copy of the book, The Kiss of the Dolphin, which I read. I think it was a blue-covered book, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
and it was terrific. I really enjoyed it. And well, maybe Tom, tell us about the history of Dreams for Kids. How did this all begin?
Well, it all began in a shelter on the south side, a homeless shelter for children on the south side of Chicago called Clara's House, in the neighborhood of Englewood. And it was on Christmas Eve. And we, a group of friends and myself, on my mother's suggestion, created the organization Dreams for Kids. I had been, my background was my father had disappeared when I was 8 years old. And my mother was a single parent and raised us alone, and we lost our house. And it was a difficult situation growing up. And at a certain point, I had a goal to become a lawyer. I had passed the bar and I got out of law school at DePaul University, DePaul Law School. My mother said, it's time to help other kids with their dreams. So we ended up at the very first effort was on Christmas Eve to go to this shelter. And there were 54 kids that were living there and doubled up on beds, and some of them sleeping on the floor. So as you can imagine, it impacted us greatly, you know, to see that on that day, and that's where it all started.
Tom, tell us what Dreams for Kids, how it works. You'd spend a lot of time trying to provide, as the material ahead says, making dreams come true for children. Tell us how you make the connection, and then how you maybe an example of how it all happens.
I think the first part of any kind of a child's dream is just to be. I think the main dream in life is to be part of life, to not feel isolated, to not feel so alone. And if you start with children in Chicago that are homeless, it staggers to the imagination that there are over 12,500 kids in the Chicago public schools that are homeless, over 38,000 in Illinois that are living in cars and sleeping in shelters.
I mean, Tom, that's a staggering number, that 12,500 in the Chicagoland area and 38,000 statewide, that children who are homeless.
We have 1.7 million in the United States. Mm. And so often we think that that's a global problem, that that's a problem in the developing countries. And, of course, it is, and it's amplified there. But here, right here in our own city, in our public school system and in our state, there are that many kids who have no home of their own, no bed of their own. So there's a profound sense of isolation when you are that kid. And as you know, we also work with children with disabilities, and the same is true for them. Yeah, they don't feel like they're part of life, and in so many ways they're not. So it's our objective to provide programming that brings them into the mainstream, that connects them to their peers, that makes them feel a sense of self-worth and self-involvement.
All right, give us an example, Tom, of what some of that programming might be, and how you work to get these kids feeling as if they're back part of society.
Well, you know what it is? We started, they showed us the way. You know, what we did is we started with activities and outreach and mentorship. And really we found out that the best engagement strategy is to give kids an opportunity to help others. Not to reach out to them in charity, but to give them an opportunity to help those who have less than they do. And it gives them such a sense of self-worth when they're reminded that they have something to give, that they can make a difference in someone else's life. And so many people would look at children in that situation and think that there isn't anything that they have to give and that we need to help them. Best way we can help them is to give them opportunities, whether it be in their own community or overseas, to help someone else. And it changes the way they see themselves, and it changes the way people see them.
Tom, give us an example, you know, what you're talking about right now, maybe from last month or last year, a story that has really touched your heart for the Dreams for Kids Foundation.
I think the one that will always touch my heart is where that where the mission and came from. Is we went to Harlan High School on the south side of Chicago, knowing that we wanted to create a program that united these kids to their peers, and we wanted to create a program of diversity where we brought kids into a conference. And 100 of them of great diversity, and that conference would give them an opportunity to connect with one another and see past wheelchairs and skin color and religious beliefs and see that there's a commonality in our humanity. That was our intent, and they showed us the true heart and soul of the program. In Harlan High School, at any given time, there could be one out of every five students, 20%, that are homeless. 99% African American. 94% live below the poverty level. So you have no disabilities. So there's no diversity. So we went there first, and we said, we want you to be our first leaders in this program. And we described the program, and they wanted to know, they were very passionate about helping someone. And they first wanted to know who else was going to be in the program. So we told them about our next stop, which was the Illinois Center for Rehabilitation and Education. That's on Roosevelt Road here in Chicago, and it's a state-run facility for kids with disabilities who live there and go to school there. So it can be a tough environment. And we were telling the kids at Harlan about the kids in iCree, and they were fascinated at first because of the fact they had disabilities, and these kids at Harlan didn't know anyone with a disability, anyone their own age. So we were describing their life, and we just happened to say that they were fundraising for themselves so that they go to Key Largo to go deep sea diving. And the reason why they wanted to do that is we had sent their friends as part of a dream, their friends last year at iCree to go deep sea diving, and they came back and they said leading their wheelchair and going into the deep sea was like flying. You know, they felt free for the first time in their lives.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when they came back, everybody else wanted to fly.
Yeah. You know,
and so they started a fundraise, and we told the kids this, and we said that they were having a tough time because it's hard to fundraise for yourself. And just then, a few hundred kids, you know, they got together and they said, can we talk amongst ourselves? And these kids at Harlan came back, and they all handed us their lunch money.
Wow.
Said, yeah. And they said, can you give this to the kids?
Yeah, an amazing story of empowering those who heretofore have not felt empowered, and that's a tremendous way to make this all work. And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Our guest is Tom Toohey. He is the president and founder of Dreams for Kids, and you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 942, and we'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. The time is 944 on this Friday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Wayne Majors, and our guest is Tom Tuohy, president and founder of Dreams for Kids and author of Kiss of the Dolphin and Dreams for Kids, Changing the World One Person at a Time. Tom, if I'm not mistaken, your foundation, this Dream for Kids, the great work you do, was it a couple of years ago that you were involved with a high school or college? It was a high school hockey player that had been paralyzed. Am I onto something here?
Yeah, that was a great memory. Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us that story.
Yeah, it was J.J. O'Connor from Loyola Academy. And it was already 12 years ago, and I believe 15 years ago, that he was playing hockey and tripped, and he went into the boards head first, and he never felt himself hit the ice, and he's never felt anything since. He's paralyzed from the neck down, and a quadriplegic, and we met him about 12 years ago. And when we did, he introduced us to, in Illinois, the fact that kids had no organized sports, that there wasn't anything for them, and it was on his suggestion that we created with Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, the first sports program for kids with disabilities. And we went on to run our program independently and gave the kids an opportunity to name it. And they named it Extreme Recess.
Tom, it sounds like, and tell me if this is an accurate conclusion, that based on a couple of stories that we've heard already this morning, that you don't have a one size fits all. That your organization is attentive and responsive, and kind of tailors the need, the program, the opportunity to what you have been presented with. Is that a fair assessment of your operational strategy, if you will?
Yeah, I believe it is, and I think for all of us, we'd agree it's a fair assessment of life. You know, that life is life happens to us along the way, and if we adapt to it and we see what's in front of us, if we are present to the possibilities, then we can create something very powerful. And that's how we've created Dreams for Kids.
Tom, let me maybe help our listeners. How does it work? How do you get in contact with these children with physical and mental challenges? Do you get a call from their parents? Do you get a call from the school? How does a whole ball get rolling for an individual?
Yeah, what happens is we have all variety of different ways. It is from the school sometimes. It is from a hospital, a rehab institute oftentimes. And it's from the parents themselves. And they hear about, like, next week we have a two-day event in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. It's our annual water sports event that you read about in, I believe it's chapter 17 of that Kiss of a Dolphin book, and also in the Dreams for Kids book. And that's, I think the chapter title is A Lake Touched by God, because one of the parents, I mean, this is a day where kids can water ski that are in wheelchairs, that have physical challenges. They can sit in a chair with two outrigger skis on either side so it won't tip, and 25 miles an hour behind a boat. So they get opportunities for jet ski rides and tubing and fishing and canoeing and kayaking.
So in other words, you provide an opportunity for these children to do things that they normally would never have the chance ever again the rest of their life, and other children do weekly in summer, that for them, for these children, it's an absolute rare treat.
They come from the sidelines of life and into activities that they never dreamed, as kids have told us, that would ever be possible in their lives. Some of them have never seen a lake, never been on a pier.
Tom, in order to do all the good work that you do, I would imagine it runs because of a lot of volunteer support, because of all the folks that are helping pull off things like this. Tell us about how you get connected with volunteers and about the volunteer network that you have in place with the Dreams for Kids.
Well, it's incredible. We've actually got a few spots open next week. Twin Lakes is just this side of Lake Geneva, on the way to Lake Geneva from Chicago. It's Richmond, Illinois, right outside of there.
Oh, sure. That's that antique town.
Oh, yes.
Right at the border, right over by across from Nipissing there.
Absolutely.
Now, before I forget, give us a phone number. If someone listening right now said they would love to join you in Richmond, how can they contact you?
Yeah, they can contact toll-free 866-729-5454.
That number once again.
It's 866-729-5454. And anyone that's listening to, if they want to get a head start on the holidays, that party that I described, that event I described 22 years ago, has grown to bring in over 1,200 kids from all over Illinois to downtown Chicago into an event called Holiday for Hope, which is hosted by groups in over 30 countries. And we have over 150 volunteers, and of course, volunteers on that day. And it's the Saturday before Christmas. And anyone's interested in that, to join in, because that fills up fast. And also anyone that's interested in bringing their company involved and having a toy drive or a fun drive or to be involved in any of the activities that day, we'd love to have them.
And again, the very same number, that 866?
729-5454.
Tom, do you work in partnership with other organizations as well in a lot of the work that you do?
Yeah, and it's a great. Thank you so much for bringing that up. It's important nowadays because of really how stressful it is in the economy and how people have a difficult time themselves. That nonprofits have a tremendously difficult time keeping afloat. And what needs to be done is there has to be collaboration between nonprofits, partnership among nonprofits, so they can have capacity building amongst themselves without having to use additional resources. So we are open to working with any nonprofit, and we work with several.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Madjar, as our guest is Tom Tuohy, president and founder of Dreams for Kids. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll take you to Holy Name Cathedral for the ordination ceremony of 10 new priests. We'll show you highlights from Rome of the beatification of Pope John Paul II. And we'll talk to Cardinal Francis George about the significant issues that are covered in his latest book, God in Action.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Welcome back, 9:53 in the morning on a Friday, Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Tom Tuohy is our guest, the president and founder of Dreams for Kids, and Tom, also the author of Kiss of the Dolphin and Dreams for Kids, Changing the World, One Person at a Time. Tell us about what inspired you or any particular part of your work that really drove you to write these two books.
Well, some of the stories that I described, and I was sharing those stories with someone out in Burbank, California, 5 years ago, and of all places, and I was at and never met the woman. Her name is Sam Horn, and she's pretty famous in the book world. And she asked me when, after I share a few stories, when the book was coming out, and I said, well, there isn't one. And she said, oh, yeah, there is one. And I said, well, no, I'm sure I'd know about it. She said, no, you're going to write it. And I said, well, there's definitely not one.
That's a great way to get a book contract, Tom.
I like that. Nice perspective.
He's very skillful, and I never thought I'd write a book. And what she said to me that day was, you changed everything. She said, you're going to write this book, and you're going to give it as a gift to the world. And when you do, everything will change, and you'll receive letters from people from around the world. And that's what's happened. I've received letters from Uganda, South Africa, India, and it's all about sharing the stories of empowerment and sharing the stories of volunteers. And Father Wally Brennan, who was my, from Our Lady of Sorrows and Paul University, is my fraternity mentor, and Jesse White, Pope John Paul II, is a full chapter in the book, and just amazing, amazing stories.
Maybe give us a story, a particular story about an individual that really comes to your mind from either book.
I would say, I just mentioned the Pope. It was incredible when he came on October 5th, 1979.
And to Chicago.
Really, yeah. And of that story, it was really that story that Bob Lojano, was a little boy, and it was the story that inspired us to create the sports program. He was a little boy that was 8 years old and got meningitis, and he was a patient at Northwestern Hospital, and they amputated both of his arms, both of his legs. Mm. And his mother, his grandmother, named Hope, she wanted to, she felt he needed an audience with the Pope, and she waited in line for 7 hours to get into the cathedral on State Street. And a Chicago police officer brought them beyond the line, knowing they'd never get in, brought them up to the first row right by the velvet rope. And just as the Pope walked in, and he turned and he saw Bob in the wheelchair, and a little Bobby, and he came to the first row, and he put his hand on his forehead, and he blessed him, and he took his rosary off and put it around his neck. And Bobby told me later, he said that that's when the moment my life began. Mm-hmm. He said, I felt the presence of God and knew that I could go home, that my friends would be there, my family would be there. And Bobby ended up graduating with a master's degree in Alabama State, worked at the Olympic facility, and became an Olympian himself and won a gold medal in power rugby.
Wow. And how old? And Bobby was like 8 or 9 years old at the time, in October of 1979?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
What an amazing story, Tom.
Tom, you are inspiring, and you inspire others. And I would imagine that a dimension of your work is also the inspiration you see that comes from your volunteers. You see people that contribute to this work, that help others, and become inspiring in their own right, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, Wayne, absolutely right. And I learned that from Father Wally, called it the circle of giving. You know, you give and it comes back, and it inspires, and it's really what the book is all about. It's telling their stories, but we give a copy of the book to all the volunteers or anyone that makes a donation, just so that we can continue to share that goodwill and to realize that what we give out in the world comes back to us tenfold.
Now, Tom, before we close, give us a phone number people could contact you to maybe make a donation or to learn more about Dreams for Kids.
Yeah, it's 1-866-729-5454. And as far as donations, what we do too, I talked about that program, the leadership program. We have micro donations where you could adopt a kid for a month in our leadership program for $20, $240 for a year. And we've got one of the highest ratios in the state, over 90%. All the money that comes in goes right directly to the kids' programming and very little administration. So it's something we take great pride in, and something that where there's a great accountability for anybody that donates. You have a connectivity to the kids, you have mentorship opportunities, you have volunteer opportunities, and it's really an enriching experience for
And everybody. Quickly, what about a web for people to look at the webpage?
The webpage is Dreams for Kids. It's Dreams, F-O-R, dreamsforkids.org.
I want to thank in a very special way Tom Tuohy, president and founder of Dreams for Kids and author of Kiss of the Dolphin and Dreams for Kids, Changing the World One Person at a Time. Thank you very much, Tom, for your incredible story. Keep up the great work. And thank you also to our co-host, Wayne Majors. Wayne, have a great weekend.
Too,
and to our wonderful work of our producer, Jim Dish.
And our adequate engineer,
Brian Brock. Hockey Hitman Brock, for another adequate, wonderful job. To our listeners, God bless all of you and have a wonderful weekend, and maybe the Cubs and Sox will finally win a game.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.